Hour.
Listening to birds chirping, a creek babbling, children giggling, steak sizzling, or sharing a conversation with a loved one is pure joy. Hi, this is Elizabeth.
JT.
And Dr. Addison Dempsey with EBIA Hearing and Sound. May is Better Hearing and Speech Month. We invite you and your loved ones to take a proactive approach to your overall health and reconnect to the vibrant and beautiful world through better hearing.
Connection is a key to happiness. Enhance your joy, protect your mental acuity, and find ease in communication through better hearing. Our staff offers comprehensive hearing exams, tinnitus support, prescriptive hearing aids, and more.
Let's be healthy and happy. Celebrate Better Hearing and Speech Month with us.
To learn more or to schedule your appointment, stop by EBIA Hearing and Sound, 1273 Coffeen Avenue, or give us a call, 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Buy 2 weeks, get 2 weeks free. That's right. Buy 2 weeks and get 2 weeks free with a Country Bounty Personal Classified Special. Run your personal classified ad for 2 weeks, and we'll help you sell your unwanted items by giving you two additional weeks and no charge. Now, if you need extra cash, clean out that garage. The Country Bounty is the perfect place to do it. Direct mail to every home in Sheridan and Johnson County and online at SheridanMedia.com. The deadline, Thursday, 1 o'clock. Call 672-7421 or stop by the Sheridan Media offices at 1716 KROE Lane.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, May 5th. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by David and Julie Huebner. Did I say that right?
You did.
Fantastic. Congrats. And Fred Cerna, better known to the world as the Two Tracks. Bassist Taylor Phillips couldn't make it today. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning. Morning.
Guys, let's start from the very beginning. Because Julie informed me this morning, 10-year anniversary.
Yep.
So 10 years ago, how did the Two Tracks form?
Well, Julie and Fred were playing, weekly, I think, around town, playing at the various bars and pubs and breweries or whatever, you know? And then I stumbled into Julie at the Bighorn Mountain Festival. Long live. Maybe it'll come back someday.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah. But stumbled into her there at a jam, and we played until it started to brighten on the eastern horizon, and decided we had to go to bed. But yeah, stayed in touch and ended up recording, joining Fred and Julie and another bassist for the first album in fall of 2015, and then that album came out in 2016. 10 years ago.
And here we are now with 2026 and just about to release our fifth album. So
how amazing is that? I mean, and so that first jam session, and a lot of people tell me that there is a magic to it. And I'm using the word magic because there is no other word. Did everybody feel that day? You guys, like after that jam session, you're like, you know what? We've got to pursue this.
I mean, I think we had a fun jam at the fest, and then definitely in the studio with Fred and our first bass player, Russell Smith. We all clicked really well on that first album. And yeah, there's a duet on that record, Song for a Friend. And I remember everybody in the room when Julie and I first played that. It was like, oh, yeah.
That's the moment I asked you to be my boyfriend and move to Sheridan and, you know, join our band and... You know,
magic. I'm telling you.
I mean, very magical.
Now, how long have you been a musician? Julie, I'll start with you.
I've been playing music since I was a kid. I was always in piano lessons and got a guitar when I was in middle school. And, you know, we'd always, I had a lot of friend musicians and we were just into all, you know, the 90s music, but also into a lot of like the hippie Grateful Dead and Bob Dylan, and I was into all the folk folk singers, Joni Mitchell and Kate Wolf. And I got a guitar and we'd go camping and I just try to keep up, you know, learn three chords and progress from there. And yeah, so, you know, I was inspired by a lot of music from, you know, my generation, but also a lot of the 70s music, and inspired by a lot of the people that I hung out with that were musicians.
The 60s and the 70s really did start a resurgence in the 90s, didn't they? I mean, that's when we all kind of, Blind Melon showed up on scene, and we were all kind of sitting back going, okay, what is this? But then that led to, well, at least it led me into looking into Janis Joplin, Led Zeppelin. And once that rabbit hole was open, I had a whole genre of music I could dive into. So that really was kind of a big resurgence back then.
Absolutely. And what's fun being part of a band is we all have, you know, favorites, right? It's like we meet in the middle, but like Fred, you know, and has introduced us to all sorts of music that we, you know, Dave and I in our generation, we weren't, you know, we knew about, but yeah, I mean,
weren't really exposed to.
Yeah, Fred, what are some of your favorite bands?
Well, back then, being the youngest out of seven, and so I got exposed to a lot of stuff, my sisters and brothers, but Pure Prairie League, Riders of the Purple Sage, Leon Russell, Grand Funk Railroad, the Doobie Brothers. I mean, these are, I'm a 70s guy, but there was Americana music. They just didn't call it then, but Pure Prairie League, Poco. When you listen to this material, it would blend right in. It was there already. They just didn't call it that. I don't think. It's just rock and roll.
Yeah, right. Just rock and roll. They didn't really have a name for it back then. But I mean, as we look back now, we go, well, that is America. Yeah. Americana.
Yeah.
Now, Fred, when did you start into music? As the youngest of seven, were there other musicians in the family?
My dad was, he played accordion and sang and also played acoustic guitar. And his brothers, too, they all played music. And so that was kind of my first start when I was learning how to drum, probably fifth grade. I was always interested in music, hearing it all the time. But I liked the drums. I just liked the tone of them, you know, so I chose that and got my first drum kit. And so I played off and on, nothing serious, of course. And then when I was railroading, I had to quit all of that. But I always practiced. It was something I loved doing. And then things just worked out right to meet Julie, to meet others. And I was fortunate to get to play in a lot of groups and get to record a lot with a lot of groups. And so, yeah, it's been since fifth grade, I guess.
How did you meet Julie?
Julia had lived here. I had seen her, and Julie was always such a great supporter of music. The other groups that I would play in with Dave Munsick and many others, country style, Julie was always there to support. And so we'd all get to talking, and we all liked her immediately and knew she was a musician. And I didn't realize that she wrote. I figured so. And then as I was finished with the band that I'd been with for a while, Julie and I got to talking and said, hey, she's asked me, like to play music together. And so things took off from there. And then, of course, we met Dave, which was wonderful. And there are a lot of other good musicians, too, that would fill in. So we were lucky to get, you know, until we got the right four, you know. It just takes time sometimes.
David, what about you? What led you to the... Because, I mean, you play a pretty unique instrument.
So my family, my dad was a piano teacher, and so he started us young. We didn't really have a choice, I guess, in the matter. my brother was playing piano at like five, I think, and... So I started playing cello at seven and played classical music for 10 years. And then I had this epiphany that I was going to be a ski bum and I didn't need to play classical music or anything anymore. So I quit cello at 17 and pursued the mountains and didn't actually play any music for probably almost 10 years. And then came back around to it and started teaching myself how to play guitar. And I discovered songwriting. Probably 22 years ago, I guess. I think it was 2004. And just loved it. I mean, it just clicked immediately. I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I want to do. I mean, I wrote a song after I learned G and C chords. I was like, yep.
That's all you need.
Two-chord jam.
Two-chord jam. Yeah.
Two chords and the truth, you know. And But so then it just kind of blossomed from there. Like I thought, oh, well, maybe the guitar is my thing because I like songwriting. And so I did that for a bit. And then some friends that knew that I played the cello back in the day and knew that I still had it in the closet, they were like, hey, you should get that out and start, you know, playing it with this music. And it was pretty hard at first. I couldn't jam. Other classical musicians probably could relate. Like, you might have all the technical chops in the world, but you can't jam because you've spent your whole life reading music and playing what you're supposed to play, not what you want to play, you know? And so then I think it just took like teaching myself guitar to kind of break down that barrier. And then at some point I tried it again. I was like, well, okay, I'll try jamming again. And then it like started to click and I was like, oh, this is going to be really fun. Because I already know how to play this instrument, you know, like I know the cello.
And when I look at the, like the standing bass of the cello, there's no fret.
Right.
I mean, you're going off of muscle memory.
It's muscle memory. Yeah.
It's incredible to watch it happen.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It just, it just gets memorized. You know, your body just knows where all those notes are.
It's incredible to see. I played guitar for a little bit. And when I say that, we're talking... very little bit, but I had the frets that I could always refer to.
Right.
Whereas I watch standing bass, and I watched it just the other night, and I was just fascinated because you never looked at the bass. I don't think I ever would have taken my eyes off of it.
Right. It doesn't do you any good to look at it. There's nothing to see.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just watching the music and his hands just moving, and it's just incredible to me. So when we talk about the two tracks... the name of the band itself, did it start with you two and your time on the railroad, Fred? And then you were like, you know what, we're two tracks just traveling in the same direction. How did that evolve?
Honestly, yeah, it does sound like a railroad reference, doesn't it? In my former life, I was an archaeologist, and so I'd spent a lot of time driving on two track roads. So when we first formed, the two tracks was actually based off of two track roads around Wyoming and Colorado.
Didn't even have anything to do with Fred's railroad and time.
No.
That's incredible. Well, we'll just call that synergy.
Right. Yeah.
Perfect synergy. Now, once you were all kind of together, what were those first jam sessions, getting to know each other, kind of feeling it out? What was that like?
Part of it was good. We weren't totally all together when Julie and I first kind of started this, and we just both wanted to play. And so we were playing with a lot of other musicians. Julie had a few of the songs that she had written and we tried them out. That's when we started working them out. But we also played a lot of covers that she knew and some of the others knew. Bob Dylan, which, I mean, I can't think of all of them right now. But anyway, that's kind of how things started. For me, I knew that things would click. That's, as a drummer, it's like, yeah, that's who I want to play for. And that's what I want to play.
You're, as a drummer, I'd probably say within the last two decades, I've learned how truly important the drums are in a band. You keep the rhythm for everybody else. Everybody else kind of follows you. And so I find it incredibly, kind of amazing that you're the one who's like, yeah, this is going to work.
But with drumming, of course, they can be too loud.
Yeah.
And so that's a big, it's always been. And
you got lots of drum jokes.
Yeah. Sometimes I get it, and I'm always trying to be aware of them singing. We have in-ears, but still, just of me hitting the drums and not hitting too loud. And sometimes when I'm just in a song, I have to remember, and I don't. And I'm just coming after it, and I don't mind people, especially the sound person, saying, yeah, you may bring it down a little bit. But yeah, myself and the bass player, that's extremely important. You know immediately as a drummer, because my kick is with his bass, and that forms everything. That is where, if our timing isn't on, it's not going to be help to anybody here. It just isn't. And we're not the most important, but we are part of that whole process.
You're very important. So, anyway. Well, and I feel like a lot of times if I'm writing, I'll call Fred and he'll come over and we'll work out a song. He'll help me figure out where a song's going to go. And we've done this a lot before even coming to practice. I'll grab Fred and say, okay, let's try some different rhythms on this. And I mean, I've had straight like 4/4 songs turn into waltzes just because of what we've worked out. So, I mean, it's incredibly, you know, when you write a song, if you once you add drums to it, it can completely change. And so now I'll often write a song with a drum beat in mind, you know, and or if I'm lost with it, I'll have Fred come over and we'll try some different things, and it can really transform a song. It's fun.
That's pretty amazing. Sitting there, kind of the two of you, David, mm-hmm. Do you ever pop in every once in a while, or do they kind of have a process where you're like, you know what, they're cooking, well, let the chefs cook?
Yeah, like with this new album that we've got coming out, I think Julie did that a few times with Fred to try to figure out where these songs were going to go, because she was in the process of writing them, and like, okay, well, it could just, you know, sometimes if you're just strumming a guitar, it's just going to kind of come out the same way every time, you know, and you want to like bounce it off of another person and try to change the rhythm up and change the feel and figure out what clicks and what, like, oh yeah, that feels good, you know, or that gives the song more room to breathe, or, you know, more drive or something. And yeah. And so, I mean, some, I think on this record, a lot of my tunes, I think I had like a beat kind of already in my head, or I had a you know, one song where I was just like, okay, Fred, this is going to be yours to just cut loose and just put as many beats in it as you possibly can, you know. But like, yeah, it was cool. I mean, I've sat there and joined in, and but a lot of times it's good to have that space, you know. It's like not everybody has to be a part of the process all the time.
Right. You know? And I guess it could go either way. But David, you kind of said something. Sometimes I have a tune. Mm-hmm. Okay. Most songs for you, do they start with tune, or they start with a poem or something that Julie sat down one day and she, and she's watching a sunset and she's like, you know what? And she writes something and then she's like, put music to that, guys. How does that work?
We bring the music and the lyrics, you know, individually, Julie and I do. Like, we'll usually have the song, like the lyrics and the song together, and bring it to the band or bring it to Fred to work out a beat or whatever. But yeah, for me, I would say a lot of my favorite songs have started as a poem with no music, because sometimes I get the idea or the inspiration to write something down, and I don't want to put a blockade in the way of like trying to figure out, well, what chords are going to go with this, you know, like, you know, just let the inspiration flow out, write it down, come back to it later and try to put it to music.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then sometimes they both happen. Sometimes you're sitting there with your guitar and you're feeling both things, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm going to just kind of strum along and this is all going to flow out together at the same time. You know, it's kind of a mix.
What about you, Julie?
I generally write with already a melody in my head. So as I come up with an idea, I'm singing it at the same time and writing it. It's like less poem for, you know, it's more of like a melodic song already in my brain. So, but yeah, it's everybody works in different ways, right?
Yeah.
And he has notebooks full of poems, and yeah, I have notebooks full of songs with chords already on there. So
that's got to be pretty unique when you two kind of come together and say, what do you think of this? What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Are you both your husband and wife? Mm-hmm. And so do you guys collaborate a lot with that, where you're like, you know, I need a word right here, or
we edit each other's songs for sure.
Yeah, I would say, like, even on this last album, I feel like more and more, like, as we write together, you know, it's, we write individually, and then when we get stumped on something, or just kind of coming to the band and saying, what do you think about this? And we do that with everyone too in practices. Yeah. It's like, oh, when we're drafting a song, it's pretty much done by the time we come into bring it to the band. But it's really important, I feel like, as writers, like, to be flexible and with where the music's going to go, how it's going to change. And, you know, and that has to do with the actual arrangements. And it also has to do with a lot of the lyrics in there.
That, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with the two tracks right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM.
Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
I love to play sports, and my parents say the more active I am, the better life is for everyone. I'm not sure what that means, but I do know I always bring my water bottle from home. Why? Because my family has the best tasting water ever. We have a water system from Water Products and Solutions. It takes out fluoride and chlorine, and it tastes great. So I drink a lot of water. They can help you too, with a whole home system or a water dispenser.
Water Products and Solutions, 672-7606.
Here in Wyoming, your roof better be tougher than the weather. At Branded 307 Roofing, we install commercial purlin-bearing roofing, residential metal roofs, and standing seam systems, built to handle hail, wind, snow, and whatever else the Bighorns can throw at it. Metal roofing is up for the challenge. Whether it's home, shop, ranch, or commercial building, we build roofs that last, with craftsmanship that's built different. No shortcuts, no excuses, just quality roofing, period. Call us today, Branded 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Are you a CNA looking for meaningful experience in a unique setting? Join the long-term care team at Sheridan Greenhouse, where staff strive to create loving homes where individuals live dignified, fulfilling lives. Here, CNAs start as elder care technicians and can advance to elder care specialist and even elder care coordinators, with pay increases along the way. Not licensed yet? Enrollment for Sheridan College's next CNA class closes March 10th. Apply at sheridanhospital.org/careers or email recruiting@sheridanhospital.org for more information.
Whether you're planting a tree or digging a foundation, contact One Call of Wyoming at 1-800-849-2476 or 811. Call 2 business days before you dig. It's free and required by law. Repairs to utilities can be expensive. Cutting a gas line or electrical line can be deadly. No matter if it's weekend yard work or major construction, call One Call of Wyoming at 1-800-849-2476 or 811. Sponsored by Public Service Commission, Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with David and Julie Huebner and Fred Cerna, better known as The Two Tracks. We're discussing their process. And I want folks to know, before I go any further, the band has played many major U.S. festivals, Americana Fest, Kate Wolf Music Festival, Albino Skunk Music Festival. That's a unique name. Red Ants Pants, the New West Fest. And you guys have even gone international. I think, David, you and I touched on this the last time you were here. Performances in Dubai.
Yeah, we played the World Expo. We were at the kind of the American pavilion representing the U.S. and along with a few other bands that were there at the same time. Just doing rotating performances while people cycled through this pavilion, you know, just thousands of people walking by and stopping to have Budweiser and burgers in
American,
Dubai.
A taste of
hot
America.
Dogs. Yep.
Taste of America. The new album, Season Unknown, right?
Seasons
Unknown. Releases. Yeah. This is coming out June 5th. The single, available now. Mexico by Friday. You can find it online. Let's talk about this new album. This is the 5th album, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, 10 years together, 5 albums. How's it evolved along the way, David?
It's getting easier and easier. I feel like we know our process. We work hard. It's easier and easier, I guess, is relative because it's definitely a lot of hard work. We rehearsed and worked on all these songs for well over a month straight, like working rehearsals multiple times a week and with a metronome and just like locking the tunes in so that we were ready for the studio. And we really try to prepare so that when we're in the studio, we can actually like have fun you know, and not be stressed out trying to figure out the song or anything like that. And, yeah, I mean, we've been working with the same team the last like four records. So when we get to Nashville, we have the same producer, Will Kimbrough, the same engineer running all the microphones and recording everything, Sean Sullivan. It's a great studio. It's actually like this old, where we recorded this last album is an old tractor shed that he fully remodeled into an amazing studio. And it's on a dirt road, you know, in the woods outside of Nashville. So, I mean, it's quiet. It's perfect for us. And, yeah, it's just a great process. I think this last album went as smooth as probably any of them ever have. And, yeah.
Fred, how would you describe the overall sound and feel of this record compared to previous work?
For me, I think it's some of our best work. Now, I said that about the last two. And I mean that too. But this is Dave and Julie's writing has always been good. What has changed is how we're able to lay down what they want, which is really important, their feel, and then we feel it. And myself, I felt that I've gotten a lot better. A lot of it on Julie's direction. Julie is extremely good at how she's organizing a song, where the bridge should be. Dave is too, but Julie is really, she has an ear for it when she brings a song to her. Just her and I, and I'm on a snare. She already knows where she'd like it to go. And the cool thing, we will have little argument where I'll think, yeah, just usually it's because I'm too busy. Julie's very clean about where we, and I'll hear the recording, come back and be like, ah, she is right. You know?
Dang. Wait, can you say that one more time?
But yeah, I think it is this album. I love them all, but this album even tops our others. It is just where we're going, and we're all getting better at it. We're getting more comfortable. Like Dave and Julie say, we work hard at it and we practice to a metronome. So when we go in and we're listening to the metronome, we already know, because that's a whole nother beast, mm-hmm. playing to a metronome. And especially for a drummer and a bass player, if we're not on, it doesn't help them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love this album. I'm excited for it to come out. Mexico. Yeah. That song immediately was like, for me, that's it. Just that groove.
Yeah.
They all have a good groove, but that song be the first one we kick off. Anyway,
Julie, why was Mexico by Friday chosen? This is going to be the single that we really put, because best foot forward, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, when you're in the studio and recording, we've got 12 new songs on this album, and when you're thinking about singles, usually it's going to be a vibrant song, usually it's going to be something that you know kicks off the album in a energetic way. And I feel like once we recorded that song in the studio, we all, even our producer, was just like, yeah, that's going to be a single.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys decided, I imagine as a band, to debut this album right here at the YO. Now, tell me about the concert and tell me why you said, you know what? We're doing this at home. We're going to debut this right here.
Well, I mean, since 2016, we've always done that, and we've released the album at the YO, and we love the YO Theater, and it just worked out that we could do it early, so that's kind of cool. The album doesn't come out for the rest of, you know, the world until June 5th, but we're gonna have it and play it and everything at the YO on May 21st. So it's a preview.
Now people can get that single right now.
Yep.
How do they get a hold of that, David?
It's out there on whatever streaming service you use, or it's on our website. So
now you also have another single that's going to be coming out prior to the album's release. Tell me about Miles and Miles.
So yeah, Miles and Miles is coming out this Friday, and that's the tune where I turned to Fred and I said, okay, this one you can just go nuts. And so it's a kind of a hybrid of like some rock beat, but also like Latin beats with some percussion added in, and a timbale kind of tone, and cowbell. Yes, we just said cowbell.
Fred, is that the nuts part where you're just like, you know what? He said I could do it. Yeah. I'm going crazy, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it's Will Ferrell in the studio for that one. Yeah.
How was it?
Oh, it was lovely. They are so good. I got to play congas, timbales, and then shakers, cowbell on that song. But also what I loved about it is because, like he said, there's a straight beat in it, which is a driving beat. It can be a rock beat. And then there's the timbales in there. It's just how the song is laid out, and it's a fun song to play. And I love it. I love playing all of them, but yeah, I've played congas and timbales before. That's part of what I get to incorporate it here, and cowbell.
And the cowbell.
And it is a cello. It's a cello song for me. So Mexico by Friday is electric guitar. This one's cello, and it's probably the hardest cello one for me, I think, to perform live. That's for sure, because the rhythm is unique, and but it's fun.
So we should all be watching you during this song.
Yeah, everybody should just really be staring at my fingers when I get on stage and
Eyes
play Miles
David.
And Miles. Yeah.
Eyes on David. Now, Julie, what would you like your diehard fans to know? Because you got a lot of them, especially right here. What would you like them to know about this album, the upcoming concert, and the singles?
We're really proud of this album. Unknown Seasons is the name, and that's the titled track, or Seasons Unknown.
Sorry, I did
dyslexic.
That to you. That was me.
Seasons Unknown is the titled track for the album. Funny enough, that song was written well before this winter season, because we still don't know what season we're in.
We're all guessing at this point.
Yeah. The weirdest winter ever.
Yes. But, you know, that song really inspired a lot of the other songs on this album. It talks a lot about, you know, just how we've changed as a group, as a band. I mean, 10 years is a big deal for us. It's our 10-year anniversary. Like, we've looked back kind of at what we've done over the years, and it's like we're very proud of this album. It's meant a lot to us. And actually, even after it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to put out an album. And after we've got our release in June, we've got a lot of shows. We're going to be on the road, pretty busy this year. We're already inspired to do another one. So
oh, wow.
I feel like, you know, we're just going to keep going.
I think that's fantastic. The new album, Seasons Unknown. This is going to release June 5th. The single, Mexico by Friday, out now. You can find it online, thetwotracks.com. And don't miss the concert, Thursday, May 21st. You can find all of those details and tickets at yotheater.com. I want to thank you all so much for taking the time to come in here and speak with me this morning. It's always an honor every time I get to have a band in here. But you guys, I'm glad I finally got you guys in here.
Yeah.
You guys are fantastic, man. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. David, thank you.
Yeah.
I greatly appreciate it. Fred, thanks for taking time off to come and see me, and Julie, an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Floyd.
Thank you. All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the Sheridan County Wheat and Pest Assistant Supervisor, Brian Songer. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
It's the 110th anniversary of PO News in downtown Sheridan, and that can only mean one thing, a big old party with all their friends. May 9th, from 4 to 8 p.m., they'll be partying in the street with their famous Sheridan beer brewed by Gruner Brothers Brewery, cigar pairings, food from PO News, and live music by Jeannie Lee and The Reckoning. Put on your party shoes and head on down. It's the 110th anniversary of PO News, May 9th. Sponsored in part by First Northern Bank and Sheridan Media.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates team at Best. The busiest and best time to make your real estate move is here with green grass, blue skies, and everything in full bloom. We say all the time, our team is here for you 24/7, 365. But we know many people look to spring for the real estate move so their home can look the absolute best. The right time of year means it's time to get serious and build your plan for the move you've been waiting for. Let our team at Best Real Estate be your guide so you may have a spring season to enjoy. Give us a call today, 675-BEST, or visit bestwy.net. Make it a great day.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
In America, we don't worship government. We worship God.
America's best days lie ahead.
We will make America greater than ever before.
Like Reagan, like Trump, Steve Friese is a strong conservative who believes in America. A businessman, not a career politician. Steve Friese can't be bought and won't back down. Steve spent decades in the trenches fighting for our conservative values, helping groups like Turning Point USA and Tea Party Patriots get off the ground, and fought for election integrity, staunchly pro-life, 100% pro-gun, secure borders, peace through strength, no tax hikes, period. A conservative like Reagan, a fighter like Trump. Vote conservative Republican Steve Friese for Congress. You'll be glad you did.
This is Steve Friese, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Friese for Wyoming.
We clean more for you. We're Captain Clean.
We're Captain Clean, Northern Wyoming's premier cleaning company. We stand behind everything we do and ensure 100% satisfaction. Call Captain Clean this spring and let us freshen up your home or office for the upcoming beautiful weather. Captain Clean, 672-0726. Affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
Ah, road trips, where the snacks disappear in 5 minutes and somehow you're already asking, are we there yet? The good news, NAPA can at least make sure your car is ready, even if you're not. Enter the Are We There Yet Road Trip Ready sweepstakes for your chance to win a $500 prize package from NAPA, because nothing ruins a road trip faster than your car deciding it's done traveling. Enter now through May 7th on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. NAPA, keeping your road trip rolling, 1 mile at a time.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, I'm joined by Sheridan County Weed and Pest District Assistant Supervisor Brian Songer. Good morning, Brian. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Good morning, and thanks for having us.
Greatly appreciate you coming in talking about this, because it is something. This is a pretty big deal. This is something that you and I've talked about in the past. Weed and Pest District, you guys are in your busy season now. It's just now kicking off. How are things going down at the district?
Well, yeah, things are kicking off. Typically, this is our slow season gearing up for spring and summer, but with the mild winter that we had and the unseasonably warm spring, we're seeing some things popping up earlier than normal. Typically, we start our mosquito monitoring around mid-May or something like that. But we started in April this year, and we've been finding significant populations of larvae. We work with the city of Sheridan, town of Ranchester, and they've all been out there surveying for mosquito larvae, finding them and treating them already. So it's pretty early.
That is incredible. Did you guys kind of have a meeting there down at the Weed and Pest District saying, you know what, we better get to work now?
Yeah, we're always talking to each other. I've been out to Ranchester. I've talked with Clark and Robert from the city, kind of coordinating what we're seeing and what we're doing. And yeah, we're on the same page, and we're all out there trying to get an early start. Key with mosquitoes on getting the early start is that if we can affect this early population, it's going to pay benefits through the rest of the year. Mosquitoes, they typically lay up to 200, maybe 300 eggs on some species per mosquito. So if we can knock down that initial population, we'll see the benefits throughout the rest of the year.
And how are those mitigation procedures done? And this is standing water.
Yes. Yeah. What we're doing right now is the mosquito larvae. The larvae that are in the water right now are what's typically classified as a floodwater mosquito. So when we get those warm spring rains and it raises the water level, it saturates the eggs that are laid on the plants next to the water. So the water level comes up, saturates the eggs, and allows the larva to hatch into the water. Those are the mosquito species that we're seeing and that we're treating right now. So we use a bacteria, it's called BTI. It's a natural occurring bacteria that reacts with a specific enzyme in the gut of the larva and basically kills them. It doesn't allow them to digest or to eat. And so we prevent those from ever becoming adults and ever laying eggs, and that has a really significant impact on the population.
And so people are seeing things now. It's kind of, well, yeah, you're seeing it because we had that really light winter. It's a warm spring. You're not crazy. They are already out there.
Yeah. We're not seeing a whole lot of adults. However, the mosquito species that we're really concerned about are the Culex tarsalis. Now, those mosquitoes overwinter as pregnant adult females. And so when the warm weather comes out, those mosquitoes emerge from caves, underneath foundations, tree holes, things like that. They emerge as adults and are looking to feed so they can then lay some eggs. And I set up a trap and I began catching these adult Culex tarsalis as early as April 21st.
Wow.
So they're out there. We're not seeing the larva in the water yet. But we expect to soon.
Let's talk about some lessons from last year's West Nile virus activity. What did we see last year that's got us kind of arming up this year?
Well, we saw a pretty strong West Nile virus season. I think there was 14 horses, several human cases. There was two fatalities in Natrona. So there's a significant presence of West Nile virus throughout the state.
And unfortunately, some of our favorite birds are carriers of this, correct?
Yes, there's over 300 species of birds listed by the CDC that have been confirmed as capable of carrying the West Nile virus. And a lot of those are our favorite birds, one of them being the greater sage grouse. There's a lot of concern about the other environmental impacts to the sage grouse population with the fires and things like that, kind of paring down their environment. And so West Nile virus is another significant factor out there that's affecting that population. Depends on the studies that you read, anywhere from 15 to 25% of the population can be affected by West Nile virus and be fatal.
Now, can you explain how West Nile virus is transmitted from birds to us?
Okay, the way West Nile virus works is an infected mosquito will feed on a bird and infect that bird with West Nile virus. The bird host amplifies the virus, and then when the next mosquito feeds on that bird, that mosquito has that amplified virus in its salivary glands, and the next feeding that mosquito has can transfer that virus to that next host. People and horses are the ones we talk about the most, but they can also obviously infect other birds, and that's a significant impact that we don't talk too much about, but we're beginning to pay a little more attention to because the birds are such an important part of this process, and they're an important part of environment too, and we want to do what we can to protect them from that.
Now, West Nile virus, can that kill a bird?
Yes.
Is that fatal? It is.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And of course, we know it is fatal to humans and, of course, our horses.
Yes. Yeah, there's a certain percentage. Most human cases, the vast majority go undetected because the symptoms are very minor. The more serious cases are neuroinvasive, where people will get really sick and most likely seek medical care, and then in the most severe cases, fatalities.
Let's talk about prevention efforts, my friends. How do we help out with this effort? Because this sounds like if all the Johnson and Sheridan counties came together, we all started taking measures right now, we could actually guarantee you a good summer.
Yes, there's lots of things that we all can do. The county and city agencies are all working together to make sure that we're complementing each other's efforts. But there's only so many places and so many people we have that we can go around to. The community can make a significant impact just by taking a look at their own backyard. There's a lot of water sources, you know, maybe an old wheelbarrow, an old paint bucket, tires especially. Anything that can hold water for 14 days is a great mosquito environment. Your gutters on your house, if they don't drain properly, maybe they're not sloped correctly, and they hold some leaves and some other debris, perfect environment for mosquitoes. So if each person could just kind of take a look around their home and minimize those sources of standing water, that would make a significant impact for themselves and their neighbors.
So just a quick jaunt around the property, tip everything over, let it dry out. If there's, say I've got a pond out back, it's not, it doesn't move fast enough or flow fast enough, so it's somewhat still. Is there a way I can treat that?
Yes. Yeah. If you have some stagnant water around, we have what are called mosquito dunks. They're that same BTI, that natural bacteria that only affects mosquito larvae. It won't affect fish. It won't affect the dragonfly larvae, caddis flies, other desirable species that we have out there. It'll just take care of the mosquitoes.
How do I get my hands on that stuff?
If you're in Sheridan County, you can come up to Sheridan County Weed and Pest, and we have that product available at a reduced cost for landowners, and we encourage people to come up and see what works best for them. We can also come out to your property and take a look around and give you some ideas of the best plan for your property.
Fantastic. So if I've got a lot of property and I feel like, boy, I don't know if I'm going to be able to cover this all myself, I can give you guys a ring. You can come out and help me out.
Yes, our resources are limited to what we can do, but we can certainly give you advice on what you can do. There's also some local contractors that we could refer you to.
Oh, fantastic.
If you have a larger project. Recently, I've talked to a contractor. Last year, we had some, you know, wedding events, things like that, that people were having on local ranches, and they had a mosquito problem. They wanted to take care of it before that event. I have a list of local contractors. You can get a hold of us. I can give you those names, and they're able to come out there and maybe treat the day before to reduce your population.
So this is all pre-treatment before the larvae actually start to hatch. You guys also fog, correct?
The county doesn't fog. The city does have a regular fogging program, and the city of Buffalo also does. We do have a fogger, but the way we use it is a little bit different. Last year, there was an area north of town that had a significant population of Culex tarsalis, which is the vector for West Nile virus, and we sent some of those down to the Wyoming Department of Health lab, and they tested positive for West Nile virus. So being north of town and the prevailing winds, you know, heading towards a highly populated area, that's a use for our fogger. We went out and did some targeted spraying and reduced that population significantly.
I've only got about 2 minutes with you, but there is one more thing I wanted to talk about. You have already been in contact with Sheridan Media about the tick season. 1 minute spiel real quick. How can we help prevent the spread of ticks?
Well, it's hard to prevent the spread of ticks, but you can certainly prevent your exposure to them. I'm out in the field a lot, and I get a lot of ticks on me. And what I've found that works best for me is I'll tape my pant legs to my boots with some duct tape, and then I'll use some mosquito spray like DEET. That's about 50% or better percentage of DEET. I'll spray that in my lower pant legs, and I will very rarely get any ticks on myself just by doing that simple step.
What about for dogs?
If they're getting ticks from around your house, one of the best things you can do is cut down the tall grass. If your grass is short, that means it dries out quicker, and the ticks don't do well in dry environments. It's the tall grass that holds the moisture and maybe the shrubbery. That's where the ticks are going to be. So if you can reduce that around your property where your dogs are going to be, that might be one of the best things you can do. DEET or other products like that are not recommended for pets because they typically lick their fur for cleaning, and they don't. You don't want them ingesting that product. You could talk to your veterinarian and look at other options for your pets.
Brian, if I wanted to learn more or maybe contact you guys, how do I do that?
You can call us anytime. Our number is 672-7420. You can give us a call and we'll be glad to help you out.
Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning, my friend. I'm glad I could get you in. The information that you have is literally one of those things. A lot of people don't think about this. This is a life and death war out there right now. So I greatly appreciate you and your information, sir.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity and we encourage the public to give us a call and we'll do what we can to help you out.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors. If you're looking for a trailer, we've got a great selection on the lot right now. Horse trailers, heavy-duty flatbeds, cargoes, and dump trailers. Whether you're hauling livestock, equipment, or your toys, these trailers are built for real Wyoming work. Stop by and see what just came in and find the trailer that fits your rig and your job. Primerate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
Do you have an electrical background? Looking for a nice daytime job with competitive wages and excellent benefits? Decker Cole is currently looking for a surface mine electrician. An MSHA certification for low, medium, and high voltage is required, along with 1 year of experience performing mine electrical work. Applications available now at the Sheridan Workforce Center. Pick yours up today. Decker Cole Company is an equal opportunity employer.
Do you struggle to hear or hear ringing, buzzing, or hissing that won't go away? That could be tinnitus, and you're not alone. Hi, this is Elizabeth from Ebia Hearing, and I have good news. Today's advanced hearing aids and innovative, proven therapy like Lanier use sound and gentle stimulation to reduce tinnitus awareness. Relief starts with a conversation. Call Ebia Hearing to schedule a hearing loss or tinnitus evaluation today, because silence shouldn't feel so far away. 674-8920, that's 674-8920.
Okay, Saturdays in Sheridan just got more useful. Synergy Shop and Minions open house is every Saturday from 11 to 2 with serious shop space for your RV, boat, trailer, and business. Big doors and high ceilings for lifts or storage. Come walk through, take a look, and see what you can do with it. Donna Garland with Sheridan Realty Associates built and designed these units, and she'll be on site to open every door and answer every question. Synergy Shop and Minions on East Rich Roads just past Coca-Cola.
Gas prices up, summer plans adding up? Sounds like you could use a little budget boost. Enter the Fuel Up for Adventure Sweepstakes, presented by ERA Carroll Realty. Two lucky winners will each receive a $150 gas card to Farmers Co-op, plus $150 in Chamber Bucks. Need new cowboy boots, fishing gear, dinner out, something shiny? Chamber Bucks work at grocery stores, restaurants, sporting goods, farm and ranch stores, and more. Enter now through May 20th on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. Presented by ERA Carroll Realty.